Hello and welcome to 361 Degrees. That's the podcast by me, Ben Smith.
And me, Ewan McLeod.
And me, Rafe Blanford.
I'm from Wireless Worker. That's the place where you can read about all about getting stuff done with wireless technology. Ewan, what do you write about?
I write about the mobile industry for people that work in the industry.
And Rafe, as if we needed any explanation, all about Symbian.
That's right, yes, writing about Nokia and smartphones.
And, and an impending change, I understand.
Yes, an impending change. That's why I'm saying Nokia and smartphones in general. Watch this space.
And not one that you're going to announce on the podcast now, because I tricked you into it. Anyways, this is episode 4. Can you believe we've made it to episode 4? If you've been listening to this long, thank you very much. Prizes will be sent out in the post as soon as possible. It will have been a few weeks ago now by the time this goes out, but Ewan, you had unlimited drinks this week. Tell us all about that.
Yes, so Unlimited Drinks is my networking event that we do for Mobile Industry Review. It's a selected guest list, so we're very careful about who comes along. You have to be somebody in mobile, and if you don't have the confidence to email me and say, I am somebody, then you don't qualify, which means you get some good people along. Drinks are free. Unlimited, by the way, is a play on the fact that your mobile operator has... allows you unlimited texts, when actually that is very, very strongly limited. So that's just a little bit of a poke of fun in the industry. There's drinks and food, and it's usually in London. In the past, I've done them in different locations, and it was really, really cool to have it sponsored this week by Qualcomm. So thank you, Qualcomm.
And a fair use policy applies, as I understand it.
Absolutely, yes. I've actually, in the videos, you'll see... If you're very careful, you'll see the fair use policy says 4 thimbles of beer is what we constitute as unlimited.
That's it. Actual definition of unlimited may vary from that, as you understand it.
Yeah.
Cool. And I mean, the thing I love about unlimited drinks is the opportunity to meet a whole bunch of really smart people. I mean, I'm still not quite sure why you let me in, but I get to meet a whole bunch of smart people. So that was really cool. And so this episode 4 is all about NFC. Rafe, quickly tell us what NFC is.
NFC is a short-range communication technology based on inductive coupling. Basically means
that man is good.
Inductive coupling. It made my brain melt out my ear.
So please.
Let's dial the nerd down to about 50%. You know, what's okay. What's inductive coupling, if people don't know?
Inductive coupling is sharing charge between circuits with over just a few centimetres. We could get into it more, but really what people need to know about NFC, it's a short-range way to transfer data between two devices or read data from a object.
And we were all at Mobile World Congress, the massive mobile industry meetup in Barcelona back in February. It's sort of where, you know, huge amounts of business gets done and all the latest technology is shown. And there was tons and tons of NFC stuff on show, and Visa and all the payment guys had loads of stuff out. And it's clearly, I think it's going to be, it doesn't take much, you know, understanding to say that this is going to be a huge topic over the next couple of years. It's really getting a lot of attention. My new Nexus S handset has got NFC built in. And Rafe, there are a bunch of Nokia devices, I think, that have it in as well now, aren't there?
That's right. They've been experimenting with it for about 10 years now, but the most recent one relevant here is the Nokia C7, which has an NFC chipset, which will be activated once the Symbian Anna release goes out sometime in May or June.
And although, you know, sort of we talk about NFC as this kind of emerging technology, I sat down with Raymond Lee from Consult Hyperion, who is a real expert in all of this sort of stuff. And he was telling me that actually, in fact, NFC is already out there and quite widely in use.
So you probably, if you live and work in London, you'll use an example of NFC. If you travel on the tube, your Oyster card is a variant of NFC. And if you have a modern debit card or credit card in your wallet, that will almost certainly be a contactless card. And you'll see a lot of ads trying to get you to use your contactless card in shops in and around the London area.
So, as Raymond's pointing out, I mean, those of us that live in London are already using Oyster cards. And I know, for example, loads of places where you have to pay to go through toll roads and pay tunnels or bridges and things use a kind of a similar technology for taking tolls. But it was really mobile wallets that it's really mobile wallets that were sort of getting all the attention. And well, first of all, I asked Raymond, you know, to sort of explain, you know, what mobile wallets were, but then perhaps we'll have a bit of a talk about them.
So the mobile wallet is a concept to take your leather wallet out of that and put it onto your phone. So all your debit cards, credit cards, your transit card, so if you have an Oyster card, for example, that will exist in one form or another digitally on the phone. People see that as being the thing that consumers want, and all the research shows that the consumer wants to use their phone for more things than just making phone calls, accessing the web, SMS, etc. And that's really why a lot of a lot of mobile operators, a lot of the payment companies are investigating NFC at the moment. It will be an application that you have to start up, and you will be able to select from that your payment card, and you will use that to just touch your phone to a reader and pay for goods. Ideally, in the future, you'll then put a passcode into that wallet as well, so you can pay for higher value goods over the £15 limit.
So, mobile wallets, as Raymond was explaining, are this kind of, you know, the idea that, you know, you're going to move from paying with cards to paying with your phone or your mobile device. But, you know, you and I'm pretty skeptical, because I think that that involves a whole bunch of new technology at tills, you know, to replace all the existing sort of payment mechanism. And actually, isn't trying to change the way that people pay for things almost one of the hardest things you can do, because it's got all these trust issues, all these technology issues. And actually, you know, although, you know, we're all sort of wanting to live in the future, you know, plastic payment cards work pretty well. You know, I don't understand what NFC would add to the experience.
Well, now, hold on a minute. I'm really annoyed by the whole experience. Let's be clear that if I'm sitting in a restaurant, okay, I have to ask you for a bill. Okay, so you then bring the bill to me. I then have to say, look at you, and just say, could we pay now? So then you have to, the guy has to come along and bring this stupid unit. He has to then take my card. He has to stick it into the unit. And this is seconds are going by. All I want to do is pay, right? I just want to pay. I don't have to give the guy my life story. Okay, just take the sodding money, right? And that's a maximum of a second transaction, okay? But because of these stupid infrastructure, I have to wait 15, 20, 30, sometimes a sodding minute while I'm arsing around watching the guy go, put it in, press it, and now he has to hand it to me while I then have to type in a PIN number. I then have to wait for this stupid device to dial. Seriously, it's got to dial up, right, to connect and authorize. It's ridiculous. What I want to do is just go swipe. Now, I'm not really concerned how it works. I understand that mobile, since I always have my mobile with me, is a useful mechanism. But I do quite like the contactless payment card as well. I just don't want the hassle. And when I'm buying a Mars bar or a newspaper, I don't have to, you know, go and get shrapnel out my pocket and count out 50p or 55p. I just want to pay for it quickly. So that's my view. And if you can make it quicker and faster, I'm all for mobile wallets.
But don't you think that the risk with mobile wallets is that you're making this simple transaction way more complicated, because you're adding in this lump of plastic that you might have left at home, you might have forgotten it, it might have run out of battery, it might crash, you might get a phone call in the middle of the transaction. I mean, is this really a good idea?
I think we've moved a layer above, or we're in a process of moving a layer above now. Obviously, we'll have to have cash and credit card machines around for some time, but I think the consumer does want the convenience. I don't want to have to wait for someone. Okay, here's an example of why people want it, right? WH Smith's, right? So when you're going to buy a newspaper or something, you're standing in a queue and some arse wants to pay with a credit card, right? And just as I talked about, that whole 30-second, one-minute transaction time is ridiculous, right? The guy doesn't have cash, okay? So he wants to pay with his credit card. What he wants to do is pay electronically, okay? Unfortunately, our infrastructure doesn't allow him to do that quickly at the minute. That's what I think a lot of consumers want. When we're in a queue, you just want to give the money and get on with it, right? You don't have to mess around waiting to type in PIN numbers, for a £3.28 transaction.
But Rafe, is the... You know, everyone's talking about mobile payments and using NFC for mobile wallet. Is this actually going to be, you know, is this technology mature enough? Is it actually going to do the job?
I think the technology itself, in terms of specifications, is mature enough. But I do wonder, you know, some of the things that Ewan was talking about in terms of financial instruments, I do think it can replace them, because there's a reason credit cards replace cash, and there's a reason mobile wallets will replace credit cards. It's sort of about convenience, but it's not a all-over switchover. But the bigger concern for me is actually around the implementation, and that's because there's actually so many stakeholders involved in this. Getting everyone to agree is going to be quite difficult, especially when we're talking about it on a global level, because, you know, there is a network effect with this. You've already mentioned with having it in the cash drawers, but also having it available internationally. There's different banking rules in every country. It's one of the most highly legislated areas of any activity, any commercial activity. Then there's the fact that operators get involved. They want a cut of it. And they're used to having bigger cuts than sort of credit card companies are. There's the original credit card companies, Visas. There's mobile manufacturers. And all of those are part of this chain, as well as, of course, retailers and whoever is accepting the payments. And so getting those to all agree together, I think, is going to be the big stumbling block to mass uptake of this. And that's just on, you know, getting basic agreement. Then you can look at specific areas. Like, most of the time to do mobile commerce, you need some kind of secure element. And the way NFC works, that could sit in the device itself. It could sit in a SIM card. It could sit in a chip separately to all of that. And so there's three or four different ways to do this. And there are different specifications and protocols for that. But agreeing on one and getting that all working smoothly, it just seems a bit unlikely to get that many different stakeholders all sitting around the table agreeing to it. Especially when the sort of amount of money and margins is small, even if the overall potential is massive. You know, this could be the next Visa being.
Yeah, and I was pretty dubious about this. So I asked Raymond about this, and he was explaining that actually the practicality element... well, let's see what he has to say.
Battery is an issue on all smartphones. I think that hasn't been tested yet, just how it's going to work if the battery power goes down. And to that degree, most payment schemes are offering a backup card for that situation. So you know, ironically, you will not get rid of your leather wallet. You will have your wallet and your mobile wallet. In terms of, are the phones ready? One of the big challenges is really around what we call the secure element, which is where the payment application is actually going to reside. And the likes of Google, the likes of Nokia, they own that secure element. And it's whether they will give up access to that part of the phone to the payment provider, to the mobile operator. And that is a big question that nobody's been able to answer yet. Certainly Google are being quite tight-lipped on whether they're allowed to give you the keys to their secure element. We don't see it at the moment, which is why the GSMA are trying to push their own version, which is to have the secure element on the SIM card. But that way, the operator and the bank will both have access to the secure element, bypassing the phone manufacturer.
So, I mean, it just sounds like a complete dog's breakfast to me, Ewan. I mean, what he needs is somebody to come in and make it really simple. I mean, there's been some chat about Apple doing this, and to me, you know, for their many sins, they're the guys that are really good at taking all these disparate elements and sort of sorting it out so that the consumer gets a good experience.
Well, this is what, I mean, I've written about this quite extensively now, about the possibility of Apple coming into the marketplace and dominating it. Now, it would be rather annoying for everybody, I think, because Apple would have their particular play on that. But I can imagine, for example, iPhone 5 or iPhone 6, and I'm totally speculating here, being released, saying that if you go to an American football game, you'll be able to pay for your ticket via your iPhone 6, for example. And I can imagine that Apple, they have the pull, particularly in America, to say to a particular institution like NFL, like a big concert chain, to say, look, will you Apple enable your turnstiles or the like, right? And I can imagine the chairman and the CEOs of these big companies going, oh my gosh, Apple, definitely. And so before you know it, Apple would come to, I could see them come to market with a limited option to buy tickets to concerts or to football games or something like that, that would then expand. So before you know it, you can actually pay for your French fries and your Coke and your beer through your iPhone as well. Now, that's the dream scenario. I mean, dream in the context of it, this is, it's completely made up. And also dream in the context that it fixes everything for the industry. Because it means it's easy, all right? At the end of the day, I just want to pay for my my beer swiping my phone. It's just cool and quicker and faster because I want to get back to the football game. Now, Rafe, I'm pretty sure you don't agree with me.
No, I think that's fair to say. I don't agree with you, and there's two reasons for that. There's the network effect I mentioned earlier. Apple just aren't big enough on their own.
I don't think that matters.
This work.
I don't think that matters, right? There's 100 million devices, we're told, right? 100 million, and we all believe Steve Jobs. Okay, it doesn't matter how many there are in the States, for example. If he says, right, you can now get into your football game, or you can pay for your beer, or your coffee in Starbucks with your iPhone, everyone goes, brewing.
Yeah, no, I can see it just about for the States, maybe, but I think there's plenty of incumbent interest against it anyway. Mm. But then it just becomes another market like Japan, where they have very similar technology called Felica, which comes from NTT Docomo, and they actually have mobile wallets and mobile ticketing and all the things you're talking about there. But for this to really, you know, be important, for this to, you know, replace the traditional wallet, for mobile wallet to really take off, it needs to be a global thing, just as Visa cards are at the moment. And you've seen some countries where Visa's behind, you know, Germany, well, a good example, or America. Because that's the way the network effect has the biggest value. And at that point, you know, it then goes global, and that will then become the winning technology.
But do you not think that if for example, every Starbucks and every McDonald's and every NFL or something, and every cinema, you know, in the States went iPhone NFC, would that not change some strategies?
I'd be fine for all the Starbucks in Silicon Valley, but as soon as you got out into the Midwest or the so-called nasty flyover states, which I think is a horrible name in itself, that sort of starts going away altogether. And the same thing happens as soon as you go international. And the reason that credit cards and something like Visa has been successful has been its global nature. And so I think this is one of the very few areas where you really do need to have the international standards to make it all work. And it's very much like sort of GSM or LTE or any of those other infrastructure technologies. Mobile payment shouldn't be something that's device or operator or manufacturer specific to really work. You know, the most successful mobile technologies are those that, you know, are based on standards. You think of things like calling itself or text messaging. And that's what you really need to be aiming at for NFC payments, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Raymond picked up on this actually when we were talking about maturity and standards.
It's ready to go in one shape or another. It's not really mass market yet. One of the biggest problems is lack of handsets. There's also issues around just who's going to own the standards. The GSMA, which really looks to drive standards within the mobile industry, have their set of standards. The Payments Council, which drives the payment side of the business, have their own standards. And the handset operators are trying to do their own thing as well. So everybody's trying to own a piece of the value chain, and which isn't that big. That is slowing things down.
And I'm enormously proud that we've managed to make it all the way to episode 4 before the use of the word value chain came into the podcast. But I have to say, I'm really still pretty dubious, because I like the idea of easier payments. I like the idea of you know, having a sort of a unified thing. I even like the idea of touch payments, but I just don't understand at the moment the value of having touch payments tied to a mobile device. Touch payments can be done with a card like they are now, and unless you're adding some kind of app on the handset, you know, to sort of give you a balance or some extra security, or maybe pop you up a voucher or something like that, you know, when you do your transaction, I just don't see the value. I just see people are going to be stood at the till faffing about. It's going to be too slow. I mean, you're going to get really pissed off if you go up to, you know, swipe for your coffee or your paper in WH Smith's, and the fella is, you know, oh, which screen did I have the NFC app on? Oh, I've pressed it. Oh, it hasn't loaded. Oh, hang on, I've got a text coming in. I mean, I'm still really dubious that there's any value in having it in a phone. Not NFC for touch payments, fine, but what about NFC in a phone?
Well, NFC in a phone, I think the concept is, you know, you'd imagine, we all know how these smart card readers work for the tube or the underground, the mass transit systems. If you have that card or that little, what was it? What was Rafe called it? Some conductive coil. What was it you called it, Rafe?
It's the inductive.
Inductive. Whatever. Yeah.
I can't believe you forgot that.
Yeah, on the back of the back of your phone, so that you just swipe it, right? There's nothing to do with an app. I would imagine it would be independent of the phone, maybe powered by the phone, but entirely independent in the context of an app or the like. You just swipe it, and either it works or it doesn't. And there's a binary situation like it is with a smart card. Either the smart card does work or it doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. The only thing I would say is it's really about reducing the number of things you have to carry around, and the battery life one is actually a big constraint there for me. And so if I could have my Oyster card in my phone, yeah, I probably would go for that. Now, that, you know, Visa have been introducing their PayWave payments, which has your Oyster card attached to your credit card, and use that, and it works well. And if I could have it in the phone as well, I probably would do. But I would agree with Ben, unless there's some kind of app to go with it, some real value add, I start to get a bit skeptical about it. Honestly, you know, you look at the way financial instruments have changed through history, you know, you went from barter to money for a very good reason. You went from money to sort of credit card or payments like that for a good reason. And there isn't quite that same impetus for me yet. So I think the idea that it will suddenly magically happen is probably a bit of a mistake.
Well, can I make a wee point there? In the First Data, the credit card processor, they have a thing called a Go Tag. And maybe it's not relevant anymore now, but a couple of years ago, we could have had this technology. So the Oyster card, I mean, I'm assuming it's a similar kind of technology, you could probably get in a sticker. And this is what First Data did. They created these little things called Go Tags that have this conductive thing that that Rafe was talking about in a sticker. And you just put the sticker on whatever you want. It doesn't have to be a phone. You just stick it somewhere. And then you just swipe the sticker. Yeah, and I really like that solution.
I think that's really important, actually, Ewan, because for me, I'm getting really frustrated that everyone's talking about mobile wallets. And I think that's probably, my opinion is that the reason everyone's talking about mobile wallets is it's the people with the most money, the banks, the financial institutions, the, you know, the network operators who are sort of excited about their opportunity to get a slice of some cash. They're all talking about it. But as far as real people are concerned, yeah, okay, it will come eventually, but it's not kind of the best and the most exciting thing about using NFC now. And I asked Raymond about this, and I sort of said, well, you know what, you know, surely there are better things that give instant value and are more exciting. And we sort of moved on to talking about smart posters, which is kind of like what you're talking about, these kind of stick-on NFC tags. And I hadn't really heard of smart posters, so he was just explaining them to me.
So smart posters are very exciting. They offer a very good environment for an advertiser to deliver information to a user. By touching my phone to a poster, I can download any number of bits of information. Let's say it's a film poster, I can download maybe the cinemas that are showing that film, the times of the film. I could also potentially download the ticket to that film. I could buy the ticket from the cinema to that phone for that film. I can be directed to the website where I can get more information, look at the trailers, etc. Similarly, if it's for a song, a music video, or I can maybe then go on and do a physical purchase or a digital purchase of the song itself. So the posters offer a really rich environment for advertisers. And I think we will see that come out. But there are standards being written for that now. What's called the NFC Forum have specified some standards for that. The head of Clear Channel has clearly said that he expects NFC posters to be a substantial part of their business over the next 5 years.
So I didn't sort of immediately think, smart, you know, posters are the best use of NFC. But the more Raymond was explaining it to me, I thought, amazing. Because it strikes me that Google apparently have been putting up stickers in shops that relate to, you know, the Google Place, and in a Foursquare have been doing the same in the States. So you would be able to check in just by swiping your phone at the counter, or a movie poster, you'd be able to pick up the details without needing to, I don't know, take a picture of it or even just take a note. You know, all of a sudden this feels like tech that actually could be really useful right now.
Well, I like the idea of, I mean, I keep on walking by book posters. You know, posters advertising books. So what I have to do is take a picture of it and then go and remember it and do something. I don't want to stand there querying Amazon, you know, when I'm walking by. But I could imagine if there was a facility, I'd just say, yeah, buy, click.
Yeah, and Rafe, we were talking offline earlier, and sort of it reminds me of Angry Birds, you know, because there's an NFC element being introduced into that game recently, which sort of, it just adds some value to, you know, a fun experience, doesn't it?
That's right. Angry Birds Magic is a new version coming out, and it's going to be on the Nokia device, but I would imagine it will get onto other devices before too long. The idea of this is that you have an NFC interaction. Now, that could be with another device, but they're also saying it could be with a poster, and they're going to hide various posters around the world so you can do this, and it will unlock additional levels. And I think that's a pretty smart way of sort of introducing consumers to the idea of NFTs, something that's already very, very popular as a gaming thing, Angry Birds. And I, you know, that kind of scenario I can see happening more and more. And all of these things that we've been talking about with these kind of smart posters, you know, you can add in things like guided tours for tourists around art galleries instead of carrying around those cumbersome audio headsets. Kind of the linking of that physical and digital world, which does seem to be one of those holy grails of mobile. If you can do that, that's the way you kind of get the more intuitive user experiences. And I think NFC could be a really interesting enabler for all kinds of usage scenarios in that sense. And that's why I think it's really interesting. I see that leading NFC rather than any mobile payment stuff.
And I like that, because although, you know, Ewan, what you were talking about in terms of just picking up, you know, the name of a book off an advert or something like that is kind of quite a basic use case that like a consumers could understand today. You know, just touch my phone and it does it. A bit like those kind of Bluetooth adverts or text adverts that you can get with short codes. For me, you know, sort of doing something a bit more interactive with it that would, you know, relieves the amount of time it takes. So, you know, doing a Foursquare check-in or a Google Places check-in or voting for, you know, at the back of the supermarket, I don't know about where you are, in the back of my supermarket, there are big green buckets. And when you pay for your you pay for your shopping, they give you a token.
Spot the waitress customer.
Yeah, exactly. You get a token, you put your token in the bucket, and then that month's charity donation that the shop is going to make goes to whichever of the charities you voted for. But actually, you know, if you then take away all that tokens and stuff, you know, touching handsets on things to vote or to give feedback, or, you know, even just imagine if you came out of Starbucks and you had a, you know, crappy experience because there was a long queue, you know, a big happy face, sad face by the door, and you just slam your phone on sad face and storm out. Like, I haven't actually got any data. It wasn't sort of like, you know, they give me the information, but I can do something much more interactive, and I'm far more likely to do that and actually give some feedback than, you know, just kind of, oh, I want, you know, I'll buy a book or whatever, you know, because for the book, it's kind of handy, but it's kind of just reproducing what already exists. Whereas there, you're making, you know, feedback a sort of a one click feedback.
Yeah. And I think that kind of tactile experience very much ties into human nature as well, because, you know, we've had this kind of idea with something like QR codes where you can scan it with your camera, but that's so fiddly that no one actually bothers to do it. It takes too long. But you just reduce that down to a single tactile experience. You know, the way you interact with the world generally as a human is you go and grab things. And so to me, this is just an extension of that, that sort of enables your digital device to actually sort of sit there in the real world. And although it sounds a bit sort of up in the air, actually, I think it's much closer to the way we expect things to happen. And that might be kind of a secret sauce ingredient.
So we should wrap this up because we've been chatting on for ages. But for me, I have to say, I'm still really dubious about mobile wallets. Not that they won't ever happen, just that we are so far away from them being useful. And, you know, I love new tech, but it's got to be useful, because I've got a pile of stuff on my desk right here that I've tried, played with, and just left behind. And it's, you know, there's hundreds of quids worth of hardware here, or devices or software that I've bought or been loaned, and just, you know, they don't work, so you leave them behind. And I think consumers are just the same. So for me, this whole smart posters and where that could go is way more exciting. So what about you guys, Ewan?
Well, I think I really want the speed. And I was just thinking there while you were talking, I'm thinking, oh, hold on a minute. I'm going on about speed and I want it to be quick, and I do like the idea of mobile and the convenience factor. I have a Barclay card with Oyster capability and pay, you know, the swipe capability. I haven't used it. I need to. So that's, you know, here I am talking about it. I need to actually start using this technology.
Yeah, and I asked my bank, could I have it? And they said that they'd asked consumers if they wanted it, and they got a fairly resounding no. So, Rafe, we've still got a little way to go before, you know, all this excitement in the industry actually yields something that's going to be mass market and usable.
Yes, definitely. These things always take longer. And actually, I think my first bet for NFC is probably on something that simple like Bluetooth pairing. You can touch a headset to a phone and have it pair automatically and save all that faffing about with Bluetooth pairing. And why does that work? Well, basically, because it's a simpler way to do things, and consumers are going to like that kind of thing. And yes, I would agree. I'm skeptical about excitement is always there, and for anything, you know, it takes much longer. For however fast we think mobile moves, by the time it gets into the real world, by the time everybody's using it on the street, actually many, many years can have gone by.
So I think this will be one to watch. I'd love to come back and revisit this in a few months, actually, and see if any of these payment trials and all these things I've been blogging on Wireless Worker, for example, about some of the trials that have been taking place with the various networks and payment providers, especially in the States, see if these actually lead to successful implementations. Anyway, we should leave it there. If you've been listening, thank you very much. Hope you've enjoyed this fourth episode of 361 Degrees Podcast. We will be back in a week or so's time with something else that is completely as yet unplanned. So we'll have to get our thinking caps on. Please leave feedback in all the usual places wherever you hear this, and perhaps next time we will collect and address some of that feedback. Guys, thank you very much for your time, and we will speak soon.